might be for George Zimmerman.
Mm. Ay, bay. Ugh. Good morning and 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800 Step 1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Talk about harshing our weekend buzz.
State of Florida versus George Zimmerman. Verdict, we the jury find George Zimmerman not guilty.
Mm. Well, he shot him, but not guilty.
Right.
What?
Right. Right. I was trying to decide which headline made me madder. George Zimmerman gun, a weapon used to kill Trayvon Martin, will be returned to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
right.
Awesome.
And he says he's going to carry it because of all of the threats
sure.
that he's been getting.
Right. Right. That's the important thing. He's going to get his gun back. So that there should be someone armed with a Zagnut somewhere.
Or a sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sanford, Florida.
Carrying
will be
a
safe.
Sidewalk with them. Yeah.
Right. And perhaps a Mounds bar.
I'm just saying if Lisa Bloom had been prosecuting this,
yes.
things would look very different.
That's what I think, too.
I mean, the
yeah,
fact
a
that
lot of people were bitching about the jury. I didn't think the prosecution did the greatest
no.
job. I'm not a lawyer, but there's stuff that I just don't get. You know what I mean? I don't get why. How can you not inject race? How can
yeah.
you not say he is?
Because he profiled him.
Right. He's on a 911 call.
One
saying,
of the effing
these
punks.
Holes always
yeah.
get away with this.
Mm-hmm.
These punks. It's like what? And as Al Sharpton said on TV, "Who's they? Who's they? What do you mean they?" I mean, come on.
You know, they, them, you know.
Another friend was talking about the prosecution's closing argument. They're asking all these questions. I just didn't think it was a strong closing argument. And I know I saw Lisa Bloom actually say many times, I don't know why they acceded that, you know, Zimmerman was definitely on top. Because there were a lot of witnesses that said that it was Trayvon on top. A lot of witnesses that said it was Zimmerman. And I don't know whether they thought the one gunshot expert was, but it didn't sound like that was unequivocal. That, you know, I don't know, just a lot of points that I was like. Well,
but even if he had been on top of him, he couldn't have reached his gun because he had it in his back of his belt.
Right. But you were saying just even the stand your ground laws is part of it.
The jury
it's ridiculous.
The jury had no choice. They had to follow the law. In the state of Florida.
The laws favor the shooter, not
exactly.
the shooter in Florida.
Which underscores
right. It favors you killing your only witness.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly. It's a heinous law, and it absolutely needs to be changed.
Well,
but until then, the jury had no choice.
But Florida's going to sink into the ocean soon, so we won't have to worry about it.
The Stephanie Miller Show would like to apologize to the state of Florida.
No, I mean, no. I'm not wishing it on them. It's just it's going to happen.
Sinkholes
okay.
and all that.
All right.
Not just sinkholes. I mean, as the oceans rise. I mean,
Jim Ward would like to point out he will not be happy about it.
The panhandle, you know, they'll be okay.
All right.
And of course, that's where the real southerners are.
And we also feel badly about the Sharknado that will follow. We apologize. All right. Yeah, and then this headline, I knew this would make me mad, too. George Zimmerman found not guilty, looks forward to getting his life back.
Yeah.
Okay, just fill in your own thought in the...
Speaking of a-holes.
Yeah. speaking of a-holes, how about his attorneys? Really? I mean, talk about, like, spiking the football. There is a dead kid, regardless of what you think, you know, should have happened or shouldn't. Defense counsel, co-counsel Don West said the prosecution of Zimmerman had been a disgrace. The fact that he was prosecuted at all, really? That was the real tragedy here.
The real tragedy.
Yeah. And he also...
Poor George Zimmerman, so put upon.
And then what's his name? Oh, O'Mara, the other guy.
Yeah.
The other douche. He said this is a tragedy like many other losses of children. It's just not one that George Zimmerman is responsible for.
What?
George Zimmerman put the bullet through the boy's heart.
Right.
He shot him
yes.
in the heart.
He had something to do with it.
How's about this? Did you see George Zimmerman's brother, Robert, on CNN? He said, I want to know if it's true, and I don't know if it's true, that Trayvon Martin was looking to procure firearms or growing marijuana
Ha-ha.
Or looking to make lean.
Ha-ha.
Really? Really? Yeah, this was on Piers Morgan.
I want to know if it is true, and I don't know if it's true, that Trayvon
right.
Martin was looking to procure firearms, was growing marijuana plants, or was making lean, or whatever he was doing. I want to know that every minor... high schooler that would be reaching out in some way for help, and they may feel it's by procuring firearms or whatever they may be doing, that they have some kind of help. I think that that's what George was trying to do when he mentored two black
come
children.
On. He
oh my
mentored
God.
Two black children and
really?
Shot another one.
It's not enough that the kid is dead.
Right.
Now you have to smear him? I mean, based on nothing?
He may have had marijuana.
Wait, by the way, did Piers Morgan, I mean, call him on any of that?
No, because he's a Tory.
He just let him...
Ponzi twit.
God's sakes. Really? He let him just say that based on what? Really?
Yes,
you're just speculating.
I agree completely. Yes.
Yeah,
you're
George
quite,
is just trying
so
to,
right.
He was obviously a gun-running dope fiend, and George was just trying to help him. Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, my
God. I'm winded by the first 5 minutes of my show already this morning. I knew I would be. All right, let's, ironically, some people want to have their own say on this. Alvin in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good, go ahead.
Two things. First of all, when the case first came out, there was a dispute as to whether he said effing punks or effing coons. I heard coons.
Right. Hmm.
The other thing, I mean, that's an important thing, I think.
Yeah, yeah. You think? Yeah. You think there's some sort of racial element?
Also, the prosecution conceded that he was following. I say he was chasing him. I heard him say, oh, he's running, and you could hear him jump out of his car, and he's running. You could hear him running.
Right.
They never went down that avenue. I don't think the prosecution tried to win it myself.
No.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I agree with you. I did not think they did the greatest job.
No.
Let's go to Curtis in Hollywood. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Curtis.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, my point, I want to make a point here. When the jury sent the letter to the judge asking about more information about manslaughter,
right,
the judge sent it back, but the jury never sent back what they was having problems with.
They're not under any obligation to.
I understand that, but I would just, it probably gave a lawyer them opportunity to, they just didn't want to expose themselves of what they were going through.
Yeah.
The lawyers could have probably hammered it out, and then they could have, you know, but that was just suspicion on my end.
Curtis, and I don't know, I mean, it did look like a little move of weakness to you know what I mean, to ask for the manslaughter after they already, you know, obviously went forward with second degree, because it makes, to me, didn't that seem like you're saying, well, we might not really be able to make second degree, how about this, you know what I mean? It
right.
seemed like a move made out of weakness. Yeah. To me, I mean, which, and again, I've never gotten how this was a weak case. And I think that was what the prosecutor said, the closing arguments about, oh, this is a very difficult case. You don't say that. You don't say that. This shouldn't be a difficult case.
The standard ground law did make it a difficult case,
right,
though.
I know, but it's just, oh, this is going to be very difficult. It's, you know, I just thought it was not a strong closing argument. Derek in Birmingham, Alabama. Hey, Derek.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Steph, it's the part what everybody keeps missing is this. Let me explain what's going on in this situation. What's going on is we had an all-white jury of all-white women, and basically what you get, the same kind of trials is in the South. How do you think George Zimmerman would have felt? Just hear me out.
Yeah.
If he had five blacks on his jury and maybe one Hispanic.
Right.
You know, his jury and his lawyers would have been objecting to this. So basically, it wouldn't have made no difference what the evidence was, baby. It they didn't care. You know, if you had one black mother up there explaining herself, how she felt, you know, and then I heard that Sanford is really a racist city. They call black people porch monkeys.
Oy.
And things like this.
Yeah. I mean, there's a great piece in Salon. Zimmerman's saga was all about race. Let's get real. I mean, and, you know, a lot of people speculated this, but Paul Campos in Salon says, suppose Trayvon Martin had been a 230-pound, 30-year-old black man with a loaded gun in his jacket. Suppose Zimmerman had been a 150-pound, 17-year-old white kid who was doing nothing worth threatening and walking back from a convenience store to his father's condo. I mean, come on. Like, this would have ended the same way. He writes, how do you suppose the big, scary black man's claim of self-defense would have gone over with a jury made up of almost entirely white women?
Uh-huh.
Because this is America, pointing out that a black boy can be shot with impunity by more or less any white man, because white Americans are terrified by black boys and men, that's called playing the race card.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get it, but if you point that out, is what he's saying, you get accused of playing the race card. Trayvon Martin was stalked by George Zimmerman because he was black. Trayvon Martin is dead because he was black. George Zimmerman was acquitted of killing Trayvon Martin because the boy Zimmerman killed was black. If you deny these things, you're either a liar or an idiot or possibly both. Nothing above requires,
that's what I always say.
Nothing above requires the conclusion that the jury's verdict was wrong as a matter of law. Florida's laws and their majestic equality extend to people of all races the right to engage in vigilante killing that eliminates the sole witness to that killing. Paul Campos and Salon,
Yes, but Trayvon had a big block of concrete you hit him over the head with.
Right.
Did you see it in
that
the
he was walking
demonstration
on.
There? In the...
Right. Okay, Michelle in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Michelle.
Hi,
Hey, Miss Stephanie. Hey, my guys. Honey. I disagree with the gentleman that called as far as black women, and I want everybody to pay attention and after what I say. You shouldn't even have any more phone calls. This trial was a fluke. First of all, the judge, if you notice, when she told the defense attorney, I said objections overruled. Each time she snapped at those defense attorneys, coincidentally, the jury wasn't in the room. Now, when I first heard it and they said all the jury was women, I said, oh, George Zimmerman going down. But when I heard all of them were six white women, I'm a mother myself. But if I'm a racist, what good is it going to do me to stand on trial because your black child is dead? If anybody's going to go after anybody, they should go after those two prosecutors. Them people was paid off. George Zimmerman's dad is a retired judge. His mom worked in the court system. Yeah. You as a prosecutor, the prosecutor and the defense picks the jury. Why couldn't it have been three whites or three blacks? Or let's just take a race of each ethnicity, white, black, Mexican, Asian descent. Why not pick the ethnic group out of all six different races? Because, of course, in this world, you got a lot of races walking on the face of this earth.
Yep.
And then again, not to cut y'all, and then that forced the judge. Like I said, this man, like I said, forced the judge. And look at George Zimmerman's face when he was not guilty. Your life is on the line for not guilty. You know, when O.J. Simpson, if y'all run that tape, O.J. Simpson knees buckled as if he was going to fall. George Zimmerman knew he wasn't going to go to jail.
We got a hard break here, but I understand. Dear God, I had a feeling people might be a tad bit emotional this morning. But you know what? I was speaking of O.J. We were saying this weekend, I wonder if this might be another, you know, where they could very well win the civil suit, lose the criminal one and win the civil suit, because I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. All right, I'll boogie, but I won't oogie, oogie, oogie.
Slacker. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Rude Pundit coming up at the bottom of the hour. Eric Bollert with some great stuff coming up at the top of next hour. Yeah, he wrote, is Fox News still looking for those race riots? Supposedly, that was their whole story. It was going to be in the wake of the Zimmerman trial. Oh, by the way, Nancy Grace, a surprising tweet. She said, I still think if Zimmerman had taken the stand, this outcome would have been a lot different. Because a lot of people pointed out he told a lot of there were a lot of inconsistencies, and he told outright lies. I mean, I agree with that, which is why I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Disappointed. Jay in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're doing this show because you know all most Americans are angry about this, both black, white, and Hispanic, because this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, this reminds me that, you know, this is, you ever see the Andy Griffith show? Remember Andy used to take Barney's five bullet out of his hand because he knew as soon as he walked out that door, he was going to go berserk because he had a badge and a bullet in the gun. So he always took that bullet out. This is what this guy was doing. And he had in his mind, oh, there's a thug. I'm going to be a hero.
Right.
This black kid, I'm going to kill him. This is absolutely ridiculous. And when I hear some people calling in or on some of these other shows or making statements like on fake phony Fox News that they suggest that this kid somehow or the other was responsible for his death. You know, and what bugs me.
Oh, did you hear Geraldo talk about the way he was dressed?
No,
you know,
what did
really?
He say?
Yeah.
What did he say?
No, I mean, he basically was saying, you know, if you dress like that, you know, if you... I can't remember...
You're asking for it.
Yeah, exactly. Hang on 1 second here. Let's see. Eric Bollert tweeted it. Geraldo collects Fox paycheck by stomping on Trevon's grave today, lecturing him that if he looks like a thug, he gets treated like one.
This is ridiculous. The kid had nothing but a bottle of tea and Skittles in his hand. Do you know most teenagers dress in sloppy clothes?
Right.
Well, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make him a thug. I guess we have to live under this, continue to live as African Americans, live under this racist, what are you doing here, unwritten law,
yeah.
That's because we feel uncomfortable. You don't fit into what we believe you're supposed to look like here in our area.
Yep.
But Geraldo looks like a 70s porn star, so I think he should be treated as such.
Right. Please treat Geraldo like a 70s porn star or a Village Person reject. Whatever that means. Another great piece in Salon, Zimmerman verdict, the green light for racist vigilantes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the fear,
yep.
You know. This verdict allows every paranoid, sub-intelligent vigilante with a gun to go on victimizing black youth. Rich Benjamin writes in Salon, he says, why do Zimmerman and some Americans feel entitled to police black and brown people like vigilantes? Why does the Sanford Police Department test a dead boy's body for drugs in standard operating procedure, yet fail to test a live man's body for alcohol or drugs? Why did the Sanford Police Department fail so miserably during the critical immediate hours after arriving on the scene? Even before the verdict, the police establishment warned black people not to riot, as though that were a foregone conclusion without delivering Zimmerman supporters the same warning. The question demands, well, how does a legal establishment maintain justice in a world getting browner by the day?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the fear, is there's going to be, you know, a lot more of this, particularly by people that feel like there's already too many brown people here in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Jay Smooth had a great tweet about it. The fundamental danger of an acquittal is not more riots, it's more George Zimmerman's.
Yep.
Nicely said. Thank you. And here's some of the people making it worse. Todd Starnes.
Oh, God, him?
Yeah. He tweeted, might be a good idea for the electronic stores and shoe stores to close up shop. Another great tweet. Just a reminder that Justice John Roberts thinks racism in America is over. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah.
Joan in Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, Joan, welcome.
Yes, you know, I can understand it. I have a pretty good idea of it. But here was an unarmed African-American teenager who was murdered and then put on trial and found guilty for his own murder.
Yeah.
Now, African-American males cannot stand still for any length of time. They cannot walk fast. Zimmerman accused Trayvon of walking too slowly. They can't run. They can't make sudden moves. So what is it that African-American adults are supposed to tell their young African-American males?
You know,
I mean, they say, why didn't Trayvon go on home? If white people saw African-Americans as human beings, they would have seen Trayvon Martin responding and acting like any teenage boy would.
Right.
He was going to stand his ground.
And that's the thing.
He had a right to stand his ground.
Right. And Joan, the reason for those of us that aren't really attorneys, this story could not seem clearer.
Why are you following
me? He stalked, a black kid, picked a fight with him, started losing the fight, decided to shoot him.
That's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's exactly what happened. Now, there will come out of this probably a so-called discussion or conversation about race. But my problem is these conversations do very little to improve the relationships between white and African Americans. And the reason why is because they only talk about one part of the equation, and that is African Americans' response to what whites do to African Americans. They never talk about why whites act the way they act towards African Americans, why whites hate African Americans. And it has nothing to do with what we wear or how we act. It's the fact that if whites stop terrorizing African Americans.
Okay, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You are
Stephanie Miller,
a comedian or something.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34
not
minutes
today
after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2 the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Monday, everybody. Monday, everybody.
Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
Ugh.
I'm trying to be chipper for you.
I know. Yeah, I mean, were you surprised? I have to say, the official cynic of the Stephanie Miller Show, Jim Ward, called it right.
I knew it.
Said he's going to walk.
He had to walk. There was no way they could convict him. I
had even lawyer friends, though, that really, really thought manslaughter, you know?
Well, but the problem is there were no witnesses. There was no, you know, the only evidence, as you said before, was really what George Zimmerman said and what he did.
Well, that's what we're saying, you know, exactly that line I read about, you know, this law. It allows you to kill your only witness, basically. It allows you to be a vigilante and kill your only witness and get away with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wrote late last night that it's like committing the perfect crime.
Yeah.
You know, it's not only perfect because you got away with it. It's perfect because the state actually sanctions your crime.
Right. Right.
The state says, hey, go ahead. And, you know, Florida, then it would be one thing if Florida fairly applied the stand your ground laws. But, you know, there was the case, of course, of Marissa Alexander, the one who fired a warning shot. Yeah. at her ex-husband and tried to because he had beaten her in the past and was threatening, and she got prosecuted by the same prosecutor, Angela, is it Corey, she was prosecuted the full extent of the law, got 20 years in prison, when a week before that, a white guy who had shot somebody, understand your ground, this guy who caught somebody having sex with his wife and thought that, and said, well, I thought she was being raped, so he shot and killed the guy. He got acquitted.
Wow.
Because of stand your ground. It's like, you know, okay, so you've created a law that only applies to, that doesn't apply to black people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, we were saying that I blame also the prosecution a little bit. Do you? I just feel like it was not a strong, you know, there were mistakes were made, I would just say.
No, it's awful. I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing, but.
Yeah, the whole thing was ridiculous, the whole trial. And, I mean, you know, when Corey got out there at that press conference after, when the state attorney, Corey, was up there, and she was smiling and answering questions for the prosecution, I was like, what is this, lumpy space princess? Just stop it. That's a shout out to my Adventure Time viewers.
Thank you. By the way, speaking of states with ridiculous laws, you're doing something great this week. You're actually on vacation from the blog.
I am.
Yeah, and tell us what you're doing. You have.
There's going to be a bunch of women writers from states that either have or are about to have severe abortion restrictions put on the books. Mm-hmm. And so today is going to be a bunch of writers from Texas. Including people who were on the ground in Austin protesting. We're going to have people from Ohio. We're going to have everything from, there's this really moving piece coming out later this week from a former patient of George Tiller's.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to have, we have people from NARAL, and we have people who have, women who have never blogged before, but, you know, Planned Parenthood essentially saved their lives.
Wow.
And they want to speak out. People from Oklahoma, from Mississippi, from, you know, just all over the country. All these women who said they wanted their voices to be heard. And so the whole week is going to be devoted to them. Posting stuff.
Yeah. I actually love how you said that the Rupunit will be on vacation next week, because if he doesn't get his brain off the crack of politics for a while, he's going to stab the next person with an anti-Obamacare bumper sticker. I feel your pain.
I mean, after this weekend, you know, I went off on, you know, of course the place that everybody goes to express their immediate gut reaction anger, I went on Twitter and said mean things to people. And I got to tell you what my favorite part of the defense was, and
it was
when O'Mara picked up the chunk of concrete and said, this is the sidewalk and this is a deadly weapon.
Yeah.
And I thought, holy crap, we better regulate sidewalks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I want to start the, you know, the National Sidewalk Walkers Association, you know.
We need a sidewalk registry.
Yeah, that's right. You know, George Zimmerman brought a gun to a sidewalk fight.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I love the, you say a state after state lines up to be total holes about women's rights and women's health clinics. This year, blog going to feature women, as you said, who live there or just left those places, have decided that the government owns all of our uteruses. Did you see in Texas, I love this, that they banned tampons?
Yeah.
Going through women's purses, and you cannot bring a tampon into the Texas State House because they're afraid they will be used as projectiles to throw at legislators.
Yeah. I was trying...
You can bring a gun, but not a tampon.
Right. Well, they could bring their guns. If you had a concealed carry permit, you were allowed to bring your gun in. Yeah, yeah,
right.
Totally. And, you know, and I don't think anybody's going to take their gun and throw it at somebody. But, they took away tampons. They took food away from women who had diabetes that needed it, you know, so they wouldn't collapse. But, you know, what was the other nice little twist on that was that when they reversed the takeaway tampon maxi pad rule, they had just this big bag of tampons and maxi pads and told women, well, you could come and claim your property.
Oh.
My favorite sign was a woman with a sign outside, and it said, no tampons, only douches.
That's funny.
Yep.
I hope that this actually inspires women to start beaning legislators with tampons, you know, because I don't know that I've ever heard of an incident where in the middle of the state legislature, some woman has started raining down tampon doom on top of the legislators.
The shower scene from Carrie.
I'd hope that standing in the security line, a woman would have just reached up under her skirt and said, well, here you go.
Oh.
Rude. I know. I'm always shocked when he's rude. Now, you draw our attention to a column by Jackie Gingrich Cushman, Newt Gingrich's daughter, where you say, Rude Pundit just couldn't face scribbling another man. Those Republicans sure are mother... obstructionist traitor heads post. Let's just more or less stand as more or less uncontestably true. Those Republicans sure are mother obstructionist traitor heads. However, you bring our attention to this column where she actually says early on, why are the duly disgraced Elliot Spitzer and Anthony Weiner running for office after engaging in public peccadilloes that would have doubtless persuaded many a lesser man to stay home? As you say, now, you might read that and go, whoa, whoa, whoa there, Jackie. Have you ever read even the briefest biography of your father?
There, like I said, there's reasons he's called the disgraced former speaker about.
Point out to her, those reasons include around on your mom with the woman who became his second wife and then around on her. Just by way of clip note.
FYI.
A clip
GTK.
Note. Right.
Well, just in case Ms. Cushman happened to be reading me and all of a sudden she were to come across and go, what? That's what my dad did? Wait a minute there. And, you know, she by the way, is the person that actually said, oh, no. Dad didn't make mom sign divorce papers while she was in the hospital with cancer. And, you know, if you have to say that, then you're either completely insane or your dad is a total D-head.
I did not invade Poland.
I hope she did read
why are people saying this about me?
I hope she did read your post, Rude, and think, I may be perhaps a little irony deficient. Perhaps I should get more irony in my diet.
My bad. Yeah.
I read it at first, and I thought, she's got to mention her dad at some point in this, doesn't she? At least to say, well, but, you know, it's okay that dad ran for president because, because he was chased out of office because of ethics violations. It wasn't sex.
Right.
And, sure. Yeah, right. And Clinton was prosecuted because of perjury.
right.
That, you know, I thought it was, and then at another point, I thought it was satire. I thought, oh, well, she's obviously, you know, just sort of sticking it to the old man.
Right.
But, oh, no, there was none of that. And
the
real thing was a call for really good candidates to run instead of all of these, you know, sex depraved maniacs or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe you could also helpfully point out to her he was the one that calling President Clinton a pervert for getting the, you know, BJs from the intern while he was, you know, an intern himself. You remember.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure. Well, and while on the phone with Yasser Arafat, which is kinky, but, you know.
All right. Love you, Rude. See you next week, honey.
Bye.
Have a good vacation. Wow. All right, let's take one.
Picturing Yasser Arafat while that's going on. That's, ooh.
Oh,
yeah.
Buzzkill.
Right. Let's do Rodney in Pennsylvania real quick before we break. Hello, Rodney.
Hello.
Hi.
Nice to be on your show with you guys. I watch you all the time.
Thank you.
I think this is just a travesty, this trial. I watched what the defense put on. I thought it was a joke to carry a big hunk of sidewalk in and say that was a weapon. I just found it to be a joke.
It's laughable, yeah.
And what bothers me sometimes is people start saying, they try to compare this to the Casey Anthony trial, and what's totally different there is, in that trial, there was reasonable doubt, if you're an open-minded juror. And Jose Baez slammed it home in his closing that it wasn't 84 hits of chloroform. It was one hit of chloroform and 84 hits of MySpace. As a juror, you're sitting there thinking, well, that, you know, right there, that's a big hole in the defense case. In this case, we know he was told not to get out of his car. We know that he had a loaded weapon on him. We know that he got out and followed this man.
Yep.
And we know that he shot him. If he would have hit Trayvon Martin with his car, that would have been manslaughter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. And if it were, if he were a cop, there would have been an investigation. I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous.
And if Trayvon Martin had slammed his head against the concrete like that, he would have had a fractured skull.
Yeah.
Instead, he had very superficial lacerations.
Exactly. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The Zimmerman judge, to Zimmerman.
Your GPS monitor will be cut off when you exit the courtroom over here, and you have no further business with the court.
Awesome. Sorry to have held you up for so long. Hope we didn't inconvenience you in any way.
Yeah.
Okay. John and Pam in Ohio. It's the John and Pam Show. Hi, John and Pam.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi.
I'm gonna talk this morning. John's still trying to pull his jaw up from the floor from this trial. I got two things, Steph. Zimmerman was told by dispatch not to pursue Trayvon, that the police were on their way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he deliberately followed him, got out of his vehicle, and that's the first thing he did wrong. The second thing is, it was reported, and this was a fact, that it was either 32 or 36 phone calls he had made to 911 about black, strange people in the neighborhood.
Right.
Now, we have a neighborhood watch program here, Steph, and honey, there ain't none of us that carried on the way Zimmerman did.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when you have a neighborhood watch program, you are given certain rules.
Right.
And what to do, how to handle things. And I'm telling you what, honey, that what happened is a bunch of bull crap.
Yep, yep.
And he walked out of there, and I got to say this, too. I believe the prosecution dropped the ball. They did not get some of the things in that they should have.
Yep. Well, and you know what? And it's right in the title, Neighborhood Watch. Your job is to watch and call the police.
Right.
Exactly. That's what they tell us. Because, you know, now, I'm not the nosy type person here, but I do watch our neighborhood. And I do not go out my front door with a gun. I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
You do not do that.
Yeah. I mean, because the other thing is, if it had been a cop, you know, I'm sure none of this would have happened. Trayvon would have seen it was a cop. Even if he said, hey, what are you doing? He'd say, hey, I'm going to my dad's house. He'd see he wasn't armed.
Yeah.
The kid goes home.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens because it's a trained law enforcement officer. He's not going to pick a fight. you know?
Well, and that's the point. He was on his way to his dad's house. He had a reason to be in that neighborhood. Now, what Zimmerman, I am just so peed. What Zimmerman did, he deliberately hunted him down.
Yep, yep. I know. Why? I don't even get why there's not like a stalking charge in there. It's
because it's Florida.
Yeah. Mark in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I was wondering if, since Zimmerman was allowed to kill Trayvon Martin because he was afraid for his life, and he'll now be carrying the murder weapon around with him because he's afraid for his life, is he now allowed to kill whoever he wants or anybody who approaches him?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's...
In Florida.
Yeah,
stand
I mean, that's what I think the, you know, what do you call it? The ripple effects of this are just not going to be good in a lot of ways. Shannon in Lake Wales, Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Shannon.
Hey. I've been listening to all this, and, you know, being in Florida, stand your ground, and I agree with the last woman that was just speaking. I'll be honest with you. We're part of a neighborhood watch as well, myself and my husband. And I'll be honest with you. I don't leave the house if I see suspicious people. I call 911.
Thank you.
That's
yep.
their job. That's what my tax dollars pay for, is them to get suited up, have, you know, protective vest gear, and find out why this creep is in my neighborhood.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm sure the vast majority of people, Shannon, are like you. They're in Neighborhood Watch because they care about their community. They're not
exactly.
in it to be a vigilante like George Zimmerman obviously
exactly.
was.
Exactly. And I mean, I live next to a school. You see strange things happening all the time. You know, the kids, you know, congregate over there, da-da-da-da. And what gets me the most about this jury is, again, I'm in Lake Wales, Florida. I'm only maybe an hour and a half away from this whole Seminole County area. And what gets me is they bust in from all over Florida, Trayvon Martin supporters. There was very little George Zimmerman supporters, very little, to the point of almost 16,000 people. And when that jury came back with the question about manslaughter, all you heard them people out there saying was murder, 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 murder. So if those women had any question of a doubt at that point, they should have been listening outside the window of their deliberation room.
Yeah.
Because that's all people were saying. And the prosecutors, they dropped it. They
yep.
dropped
I agree.
The ball.
Yeah, I agree. That's what, you know, that was my, you know, Insta poll. My
yeah.
Insta friend poll this weekend. Linquisha in Palm Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I was just like to point out the fact that if they look at the time frame between when Trayvon Martin was killed and when Zimmerman was arrested and then took the trial, he had enough time in between to talk to every witness that was put on the stand on his behalf to come up with a story or the lie that he needed to get himself off, because his so-called best friend wrote a book in the process, and he knew almost exactly everything that Zimmerman say happened the night that Trayvon was killed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I remember that. The convenient black friend. You remember that?
Uh-huh.
That suddenly
yeah.
sprang up like magic. You remember I had a discussion with my best friend, Aisha Tyler.
Yes.
Whether she would, you know, should anything go down, whether she would, you know.
And she said no.
She said no. It'd be ridiculous.
She's too
and
busy.
She said
Wanda
Sykes.
She's too busy with Julie Chen.
And Kathleen Madigan said Wanda Sykes wouldn't do it for her either.
Yeah.
I need a convenient black friend to vouch for me. Sherry in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Hey, Sherry.
Hi, Stephanie. I really appreciate you for this show this morning.
Thank
very
you.
Needful. The first point I want to bring out, and I'm going to go through this very quickly, is that this is a man that is so keen in upholding the law, but yet he broke the law by disobeying direct orders.
Yep.
I see this also as being a man. He wants to really be a white guy. He's really disgracing the Hispanic community because the first thing he said, I am a white Hispanic.
Yeah.
Then he's sending a strong message, Stephanie. He's beginning to make our young people's paranoid.
Yeah,
which means
well, exactly.
That a lot of people now, he's sending a message.
Well, then, what, you know what's going to happen now? More guns, you know? The teenagers are going to feel mm-hmm. like, well, I better mm-hmm. have a gun then so that I can defend myself. I mean, it's, ugh. All right.
And the NRA is loving it.
Yeah. Eric Bollard next on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Obviously, everybody talking about the Zimmerman acquittal over the weekend. Mark O'Meara, his attorney.
Obviously, we are ecstatic with the results. George Zimmerman was never guilty of anything except protecting himself in self-defense.
Right.
Yeah. Against a bag of Skittles.
Right. All right, Eric Bollard with some great tweets on this and a great article as well. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, sir. You tweeted what I was thinking. You said, has Fox founded Zimmerman riots yet? Maybe they can hire actors to stage one. They seem to be setting the stage for this all along, weren't they?
Yeah, it's sort of preemptive race baiting, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We saw it, not race baiting, but with the Republican convention. Remember the week before there was this phony allegation there was going to be riots and, you know, there's going to be violence. And, you know, they went for that for 2 or 3 days based on nothing. And it started last week on O'Reilly's show and basically all week, just this drumbeat, you know, will there be riots? Will there be violence? You know, there's absolutely no, you know, in the last quarter century, I can think of that happening like twice in America. I mean, it's not something that happens during the 3 weeks of the trial. There was virtually no activity outside the courtroom. There was nothing to indicate that any of this. And then, you know, the local police put out a PSA, you know, last week suggesting, what was it, raise your voice, not your hands.
Right.
And Breitbart and Drudge and Fox took that to say, you know, they're preparing for riots. You know, nowhere, nowhere in that did it suggest anyone was preparing for riots, and of course they haven't materialized. So it's just sort of another layer of race baiting that has surrounded the story in the right-wing press for the last 17 months.
Well, and you also pointed us to Geraldo collects Fox paycheck by stomping on Trayvon's grave today, lecturing him that he looks like a thug, he gets treated like one. I mean, just when you think nothing is beyond the pale in this case, there was that, right?
Yeah, and Ted Nugent, of course, the beloved Ted Nugent, who we actually have to deal with as as a media commentator, because the right-wing press embraces him. Ted Nugent labels Trayvon Martin a dope-smoking racist gangster wannabe.
Mm.
So I guess, you know, stomping on people's graves is a job description for a fair number of people in the right-wing media.
Well, you wrote a great piece for Zimmerman trial, a right-wing race to the bottom. I mean, it really, it's hard to, you know, pick the biggest villains, but, you know, you make the best point. You say the conservative press remains incapable of dealing honestly with issues that the nation grapples with, especially any issue that involves race when an African-American Democrat sits in the White House. I mean, they also tried, as you point out, to make the president. Because the president responded to a single question about about the controversy, and you know, they cast him as sort of a central villain, right?
Yeah, if you didn't think Obama was going to be a central player in this murder case, then you haven't paid any attention to Obama derangement syndrome. So there were two things. Obama injected himself into the story when 16 months ago he was asked a direct question at a press conference, and he gave a rather simple, heartfelt answer. And then last week we had this complete phony controversy about the Department of Justice sending a community relations unit down to Stanford Florida last year during the time of the tension and the turmoil. And this was revealed as some sort of conspiracy that Obama sent his henchmen down to Florida to organize, quote, anti-Zimmerman rallies. What they did, it wasn't even news. Miami Herald and Orlando Sentinel reported on it in real time. It was completely uncontroversial. These are what they were described in the press as peacemakers. These are, this is a unit of the Department of Justice that's existed since the Civil Rights Act of 64. They are dispatched to communities that are experiencing, you know, tension, and they work with civic leaders, religious leaders, the police to make sure that the protests that happen peacefully. And guess what? It was a success.
Yep.
Because all those protests last year in Sanford, Florida were peaceful. And that was the whole point. And now, so Obama's Justice Department helped oversee peaceful rallies, therefore Obama is guilty of ginning up racial tension. That's the logic.
Or instigating race riots, as Rush Limbaugh put it, as you point out.
Rush Limbaugh called it. And, of course, there were no race riots last year in Florida, and there was no violence last year in Florida. So this is part of sort of a right-wing fantasy about how they view race in America and frankly, how they view protesters.
Well, and you say in terms of unfiltered race baiting, nobody has matched Rush Limbaugh's invective about the Zimmerman case and the talker's obsession with portraying Obama as a driving force in the story. Latching onto the phony spin surrounding CRS, Limbaugh accused the president of promoting racial strife so that the rest of us can get a taste of slavery.
God.
Can you say Rush Limbaugh has once again won the race to the bottom?
Yeah. This has been a theme he's used for years, that Obama has a chip on his shoulder, that Obama wanted to become president to pay back white America.
Right.
Wanted to become president to, remember in the early years, he wanted unemployment to be high. He wanted white people to be unemployed. He wanted white people to be poor. So you talk about sort of this unhinged fantasy, which is amazing, but and then you compare it to the Obama, the person, you know, completely mild-mannered president who frankly seems to be very reluctant to talk about race at all, because the two or three times he's done, the people like Limbaugh has. So they've created this fantasy about Obama and, you know, that he's obsessed with race and he's this radical, and then you look at him, it's the Harvard Law graduate constitutional lawyer. They don't match up, but this obsession Limbaugh has with slavery and Obama is particularly creepy, I think.
By the way, it's hard to find someone that has won the race to the bottom more than Limbaugh, but you mentioned Eric Erickson's tweet. You said thought he was being clever tweeting about hangers and abortion, and GOP wonders why women flee the party. Yeah. Hashtag creepy men.
Well, it just continues to be this problem with Republican men talking about abortion. And there was a pretty good piece in BuzzFeed last week about Republican women begging men, Republican colleagues, to stop it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we saw it with Aiken and we saw it with others. This has become, it's very, you know, it's fascinating and frightening to watch, you know, North Carolina and Texas. There is absolutely an anti-abortion crusade underway right now.
By the way, Eric, in case people missed the Eric Erickson tweet, it was, he tweeted, now that abortion restrictions have passed, you liberals better stock up on coat hangers.
Yeah. Oh, and he was just being clever, and people didn't understand it. Oh, and the only reason he deleted it because he linked to a specific coat hanger company, and they got mad.
So
He didn't want to offend that company. What did the GOP autopsy say after 2012? We need to appeal to women. We need to appeal to Latinos. Well, so how does the GOP respond? Anti women's choice crusade, and basically all indications are killing immigration reform.
Build a dang fence.
I love your tweet. GOP 2012 autopsy. We must appeal to women and Latinos. GOP 13. Let's kill immigration reform and curb women's right to choose. Hashtag brilliant.
And so the people who wrote that autopsy just must be, and these are, you know, people who try to win elections and who try to,
right,
you know, position the Republican Party to appeal to the greatest number of independents. And that is a vanishing number of people in Washington, D.C., because they are incapable of steering this, the party towards any sort of sanity.
You picture the people that wrote that report just banging their head against the wall.
Like, why do we bother?
Just rocking back
just
and forth.
Just tearing it up in slow motion.
Face
throwing it in the trash.
Yeah, and I love your tweet. GOP's radical anti-abortion crusade makes for strange politics, knowing good chance it will face Hillary in 16.
Yeah.
GOP has White House death wish?
Well, and someone tweeted me back an interesting piece, you know, an interesting thought, you know, with gerrymandering, you know, they've got all these House seats, they've got a certain amount of Senate seats, and maybe they just think, forget it, you know, we're going to give up on national campaigns, we can't win the White House, so let's just obsess over the things that drive us crazy, abortion, immigration, these hot-button issues that score poorly nationally, but make them feel good about themselves.
Yep.
You know, in the anti-abortion crusade, the anti-women's choice crusade, it seems to me that Hillary Clinton would be able to make, would be able to parlay that into a very effective campaign.
Oh, and by the way,
of women.
Look who's right back in the middle of it. Wildly successful presidential candidate, Rick Santorum.
Yeah.
Who's running for what now? Is back in the middle of the abortion debate, right?
Yeah, and that comes on the heels of Rick Perry saying, well, he might run in 2016. The man who couldn't win a single delegate, you know, is now in 2012 is now back in line to try to run in 2016. And Rick Santorum, who didn't do much better, again, it just sort of gives you a snapshot in terms of their White House perspectives.
Hashtag,
not only with the people, but the agenda, none of it adds up.
Yep. Hashtag deep bench. Okay. We're scared. All right. Eric, great stuff as usual. Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
There you go. Careful.
He's running away from the phone.
That is hysterical.
Men just cannot wait to get away from me. 17. How fast you two get out of here every day. 17 minutes.
What are you talking about? You're the one who gets out of here first.
I'm not staying a second longer than you pay me for.
Yeah.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Donald West, Zimmerman's attorney.
I think the prosecution of George Zimmerman was disgraceful.
Yeah.
I am gratified by the jury's verdict.
Who's a bigger douche, that guy or the other Zimmerman lawyer? I can't decide.
Mark O'Mara?
Yeah.
I think Mark O'Mara is.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark O'Mara looks like a
douche. Yeah, that
was
the real disgrace here, now that there's a dead, unarmed teenager. No, that's the disgrace, is that George was ever inconvenienced in any way over this. Yeah.
So inconvenient for him.
And this guy mostly was excited that he thought his knock-knock joke was really funny, remember? He said, knock-knock, who's there? George Zimmerman, who? Oh, congratulations, you're on the jury. Ha, 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 ha.
Now, I still think the joke was funny. I'm sorry about that. Uh-huh. I'm sorry I didn't tell it better, but there was an important reason for
it.
There needed to be a disconnect.
Yeah, that was the real problem. It was your delivery.
Mm.
Not that you're a disgusting douche nozzle. Okay. Robert Zimmerman, George's brother, by the way, on CNN right after the verdict.
He's a free man in the eyes of the court, but he's going to be looking around his shoulder for the rest of his life.
That's what I said the other day.
I mean, somebody just wrote me and said, so how many people can he kill now because he feels threatened? How many people can he kill and get away with?
Should read Charlie Pierce's article on it. Can't read it out loud on the radio, though.
Not for air?
No.
A little salty, is it?
We'll talk to him about it tomorrow. How's
that? And this is Robert Zimmerman on the unarmed dead teenager that we...
I want to know if it is true, and I don't know if it's true, that Trayvon Martin was looking to procure firearms, was growing marijuana plants, or was making lean or whatever he was doing. I want to know that every minor, high schooler, that would be reaching out in some way for help, and they may feel it's by procuring firearms or whatever they may be doing, that they have some kind of help. I think that that's what George was trying to do when he mentored two black children.
Right.
Oh, I see. Yeah. He obviously based on something I just pulled out of my ass.
But
was
I want to say
a gun-running dope
so.
Fiend, and George was just trying to mentor him.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Robert
Zimmerman kind of went on Piers Morgan last night and crapped on the corpse of a boy.
Yeah.
Of a dead boy.
And Piers Morgan let him do it.
Yeah.
He didn't say, what are you basing that on? Well, I don't know for sure.
I agree completely.
But I'd like to know. Really? Ugh. Okay. Let's go to Mel in Illinois. Hey, Mel. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Steph. I'm the guy who brought the Gold Order Miller Stationery to the Chicago show.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I have it.
Well, it was a pleasure to meet you. I was at the other show. Really great. My point is the real tragedy of the Trayvon Martin killing is that decades of law enforcement efforts to disarm the streets of the black communities are now completely turned upside down.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy. And not to be ironic, but if we started a major Stand Your Ground campaign to rearm the black communities, those laws would be off the books in 10 seconds.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Bernie De La Ronda, the prosecutor.
I am disappointed, as we are with the verdict, but we accept it. We live in a great country that has a great criminal justice system.
Yeah,
we're not always the greatest prosecutors, just saying. Yeah. Just saying. John Guy, a prosecutor as well.
We have, from the beginning, just prayed for the truth to come out and for peace to be the result, and that continues to be our prayers, and we believe they have been answered.
Yeah.
Right.
Good luck.
Okay. Not the strongest prosecution, in my opinion. Maureen in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Maureen.
Hi. If George Zimmerman had gotten in a minor fender bender or hit a neighborhood pet, he would have been subjected to a more stringent investigation than he did for the homicide of a young black man.
Yeah.
He would have at least been drug tested. He could have easily been on drugs. He was a bodybuilder. He was trying to lose weight. He could have been on steroids. He could have been on meth. He could have been on coke, you know, but we don't know because the police didn't do their job. And I'm tired of white people like the head prosecutor, Corey, saying this case is not about race. It is 100% about race. It has been from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I do want to make one point about
right. I mean, the fact that they didn't use that they just accepted the story that it was, Zimmerman on top based on one gunshot when they had witnesses that said it was Zimmerman on top, right?
Yeah, and also I'm very suspicious of that John Good guy because he brings in MMA, mixed martial arts. George Zimmerman is obsessed with MMA. Did they know each other before? Their neighbors? Did they get their story straight?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, while they're waiting for the police to arrive on the scene?
Well, and a lot of inconsistencies, from George Zimmerman.
And we only have the killer's word, and they took the killer. The police, until they were forced by public pressure, the police just said, killer's word's good enough for us. But the way it raised and forms all of this is look at Mark O'Mara. When he was trying to smear Trayvon in the weeks before the trial, he released a picture from Trayvon's phone, a picture of a gun. So Trayvon had a picture of a gun, and that's sinister. But Zimmerman can't walk out of his house without a bullet in the chamber.
Right.
And that's not sinister.
Yeah, exactly.
And tell me that's not a racial perception.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Joe in Vegas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hi, hon. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Steph, I got a couple of points. One of them, this trial, I thought in our country, and I'm a senior citizen, been around for a lot of years, formerly from Chicago. O.J. Simpson, ring a bell?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you remember what happened there? Remember the slaughter of two people?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you remember what happened outside of that courtroom?
No.
What, after he was acquitted? Do you remember that? Well, I'll remember. I'll tell you what it was. They had a party.
Why don't we skip the pop quiz and just tell me what happened?
All right. They sat out there, hundreds and hundreds, and I am not prejudiced in my life, never have been.
But
hundreds of black people cheering, he's free. Now, 8 years later, he's in prison. That's one. Number two, there was five or six women that sat on that trial. Trayvon Martin.
Right.
We weren't there. I don't think any one of the callers were there. What did they see? What was their thoughts that they freed this man? Okay. Now I'm going to give you another one. CNN announced today.
Oh, boy. No, that's...
Is it me or...
Yeah. Rhetorical
question. Am I the only
one
that found that really irritating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what else? There's black guys out there with guns.
Kind of didn't go anywhere.
I'm not sure.
And you know what?
He reminds me of my most irritating teacher ever. I just, you know what? I don't, just tell me what. I don't, what do you.
And you know what else? You want to know what? You know
what? What happened? What happened? Pop quiz.
You know what happened then?
All right. 29 minutes after.
Stuff happened. That's what happened.
Okay. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's why
Stephanie Miller,
top Hollywood movie star, uses Luster Cream Shampoo.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, we took a little vote during the commercial break, and that guy was the most irritating caller ever.
Yep.
You know what else? Blacks. Just saying.
I think that was his point. I think that's what he was getting to. Was blacks generally guilty? So,
Or stuff like the
I'm not
trial.
One to be prejudiced or anything.
I think what you have to say, I'm not prejudiced. Something after that that's going to seem...
What happened?
Prejudiced.
Yeah, look what the blacks did.
I don't. He was bringing up that black people, some black people cheered when O.J. Was...
Not all of them did.
Right. Exactly. But I think that was the point of his getting to.
Then?
Black people generally
then
guilty,
he's
so...
he's back in prison again. See?
See?
Black guy
so
in prison.
So there's justice. The arc of justice is... Never mind. All right. You know what? Stop.
Some blacks said that, so I don't really care.
Stop, Captain Pop Quiz.
You know what else?
And what else? You know what else happened? Then what
black
happened?
Black guy. That's what happened.
Okay, Latrenta in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey,
Ma!
Hello.
Hi, Miss Stephanie.
Oh,
I
yes.
love you guys.
I love you. All right, go ahead.
What I was saying is they are calling Mr. Zimmerman's lawyers are calling Trayvon a thug, and they don't know what a thug is because a thug would have really beat the living hell out of George Zimmerman with that iced tea.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. He was armed with a...
choke him with Skittles.
Yeah, exactly. Benjamin Crump, the Martin family attorney, this weekend. Benjamin...
This is a very trying time for their family, and we ask that you respect their privacy. For Trayvon to rest in peace, we must all be peaceful. Thank you.
Yeah, they were not in the courtroom for the verdict, and you have to wonder if they got a heads up what it was going to be, and it was too emotional. I don't know.
Well, I think it would have been too emotional for them either way. I think that's probably why they weren't there.
Daryl Parks, Martin family attorney.
We are very, very, very saddened, but we accept the jury's verdict in this case. First and foremost, on behalf of Tracy Martin and Sabrina Fulton, who are just heartbroken.
Angie in Virginia. Hi, Angie.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
I'm the official black Puerto Rican of the show.
Yes.
But, what I was calling about today is that, as my mother puts it, I'm finally putting my uterus to you, so I'm pregnant right now.
Oh, awesome. And... Way to go. Nicely done.
So, but I'm having a boy. And my fiance, he's black. I'm black and Puerto Rican. And this case was a little bit more emotional for me because it made me realize now at 35 years old that when my son grows up or when he becomes a teenager, if he ever makes any kind of stupid juvenile mistake, that he won't be, his actions won't be looked at as just some stupid juvenile mistake, that he'll be looked at as a threatening, menacing man-child that somehow, if someone kills him or anything happens like this, he deserves his actions.
Yeah.
And people will, just looking at how the media has treated Trayvon Martin, people will, you know, just run over his reputation and you know, it hurts.
Yeah,
it really hurts.
I hear you. No, I hear you. I you know what? And if I were a parent, I would feel the same way.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of parents say the same thing. John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi. I really appreciate that last caller. That was amazing. I just want to say that, you know, like a lot of people, I feel like the confrontation between Zimmerman and Martin began as soon as Zimmerman chose to get out of the car in defiance of what he was being instructed to do. He knew the cops were coming. But for everybody who likes to say, guns don't kill people, people kill people, you have to ask yourself, what compelled Zimmerman to get out of the car? And the only thing I can come up with is he had a gun. That's why he got out of the car. He doesn't go and confront Trayvon Martin unarmed. It's the gun. And I mean, and he knew that he would be protected by Florida law, probably. But even if he's not thinking that far down the road.
You're absolutely right. The 99% of us reasonable people in the world, if you see something going on, you're not going to be an idiot enough to go run in the middle of it. You're going to call the police and let somebody, as you say, armed and trained do this. So you're absolutely right.
Well, and it's the stand your ground rule. You know, the law says you can act if you feel threatened. Well, then avoid putting yourself in a position where you'd be threatened, right? He didn't have to stand his ground until he got out of the car and had some ground he had to stand, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
thank
you.
Stand
the car, you're totally cool. So what's the deal? It began when he got out of the car.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, where are we here? Jan in Grand Rapids, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jan, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I think Zimmerman's nosebleed was caused by the kickback of his own gun when he fired.
Yeah, you know what? I've heard a lot of gun experts say that gun has a particular kickback.
Yeah. Well, what the hell? Aren't they going to, check this out or what?
It's done. The trial's over.
Maybe for the civil trial. I don't know. You know, I wonder, I was saying if it might be like O.J. where, you know, he could still lose the civil suit. John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John. Hello, John. Or not.
Hmm.
How about Edward in Massachusetts? Hi, Ed.
Yes. Basically, this whole thing about Zimmerman, yes, it's very racial in respect to the fact that it's all about preventing white people from being able to defend themselves against black thugs like Mr. Trayvon Martin.
Ah, and he was a thug based on what?
Because he had a hoodie.
What's that?
He had a hoodie on.
The fact is, Trayvon Martin attacked George Zimmerman.
How do you know that?
Perfectly justified.
Were you there?
What he did.
How do you know
that?
There? Because the only guy that's alive says so.
George Zimmerman. If someone attacks me, I'm going to do just the same thing. If I have a knife, I'm going to cut their throat. If I have a gun, I'm going to shoot them in the head. Whatever.
Have fun in the middle institution.
You're a race traitor, Stephanie.
I'm
you're
a race traitor.
The most important part of your identity is you're a white woman.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I hope you get raped by a black man to feel what George Zimmerman felt when he was attacked by that thug, Trayvon Martin.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Right.
Okay. What evidence is there that Trayvon Martin is or ever has been a thug?
I haven't been that winded since I got hit with a dodgeball.
You're a race traitor.
Yeah, come on, traitor.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Why did I? You know what? I knew I should have had a lot more to drink this morning. Okay, let's.
Should we send Rebecca out to get some
some hooch?
Some hooch? Okay.
Rebecca, thanks. She's filling in for Travis this week.
Yeah.
She knows where the good hooch is. Okay, CC in Florida.
There's a wine cellar in this building? I had no idea.
Ah, boy.
Hi, good morning.
She's going to be now.
Good morning. There is a key piece of evidence that's being overlooked in this trial. Zimmerman had told the police that when Trayvon was repeatedly hitting him in the face and head, Zimmerman thought Trayvon had something in his hands. So we know it wasn't the soda can. So we look around at the crime scene and we say, okay, what else could have been there that Trayvon could have had in his hands? The answer is it had to have been that tactical flashlight. That tactical flashlight happens to be a self-defense weapon. If it had a nylon cord on it, which I do believe, a nylon strap, that would explain the friction burns or like rope burns that they called abrasions that were on Trayvon's left hand that haven't been explained. Dennis Root, the private investigator, explained in testimony last week that, yes, that tactical flashlight would constitute a blunt force trauma instrument. If you look at the back of George Zimmerman's head, those lacerations are clearly blunt force trauma with an instrument and, in fact, a long, long thin.
Wait a minute. Nobody said that that was blunt force trauma. They were very superficial wounds. I don't know what you... People are irritating
obvious.
The bejesus out of me this morning.
Yeah, come on. You can tell by looking at it that it was blunt force trauma.
You know, it's by
black
the way,
blood force trauma, clearly.
Jim has pointed this out before.
You're a traitor.
You race traitor.
Race traitor.
Oh, look who popped up on my screen. Adolf Hitler. Huh. The unknown Adolf
what
Hitler.
What are you searching for
past.
That Adolf Hitler
I
pops
wasn't
up.
Searching for it at all. It just popped up.
Okay, as Jim has pointed out, if Zimmerman's story was even vaguely correct that he was taking this incredible beating from Trayvon Martin, Trayvon had no blood, none of George Zimmerman's DNA, nothing
right.
on his hands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give me a break.
So now it's the flashlight instead of the big hunk of concrete
yeah. right.
that he was attacking.
Yeah, right.
Thanks,
sure.
traitor.
Seems like the
Someone's
message is...
Someone's going to call me an N-word lover this morning. Let me just go on record as saying yes. Yes, I am. Okay.
Race traitor. Thug.
You're a thug.
Mark in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Wow. I think
hey, you know what else?
Didn't
black
he,
guys.
I, before I started to, you know, start, didn't he mention something about me being raped by a black man? Something. Was he wishing that on me or something?
Just Maybe it's just one of his fantasies.
Right. Okay. No. Mark in... Yeah.
Trevon's biggest mistake was bringing a bag of Skittles to a gunfight.
Right.
Right.
I exactly. mean, when you're approached by somebody and you're trying to, you are to stand your ground, Zimmerman had no ground to stand on because he approached Trayvon.
Right.
And
yeah.
in the state of Florida, when you have a concealed carry and stand your ground law as a minor, what are you going to stand your ground with, a bag of Skittles?
Yeah. And why, I you know, somebody, there's got to be an attorney listening that can tell me, why was stalking not one of the charges against Zimmerman? I don't get it. Mike in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi. This tragedy has KKK written all over it. There's a teenage boy dead from a gunshot wound, and the policeman says, ah, go on home, grab a shower, we'll get in touch with you later. They're in a gated community at 8 o'clock at night. Nobody comes outside when they hear people screaming. Nobody comes outside to look to see what happens. My neighborhood is a diverse neighborhood represented by Keith Ellison, and we hear a noise out in the street. There's four or five different people outside looking to see what happens. Trayvon Martin was a courageous young man to face somebody, an adult bigger than him, heavier than him, on a dark night, on a street in a gated community. And lastly, I'd like to say, America, boycott Florida. Don't buy grapefruit, don't buy oranges, don't go to SeaWorld, don't go to Disneyland.
Well, we have all that here in California, so.
Yeah, yeah come to California.
Skip Florida,
right.
Which is
going to
be underwater soon anyway, so.
Okay.
It will be.
Or the victim of a Sharknado. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Welcome to the White Supremacist Hotline. Please leave your racist comments after the beep.
All right. Beep. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. I knew this morning was going to be weird, just not quite this weird.
Yeah.
In case you just tuned in, I am a race traitor for feeling George Zimmerman was guilty. All right. Speaking of inappropriate racism.
Is there appropriate
racism?
But admit
that you laughed. Because it's horrible.
Yeah, this rocketed around Facebook.
Somebody pranked the San Francisco TV affiliate. Did you hear this?
The Fox TV affiliate up there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Phony names for the... Yeah.
Yes. Yes. They phony names for the pilots of the Asiana Airlines crash. I have no idea. The NTSB has also apologized, saying a summer intern erroneously confirmed the names of the flight crews. And not only did the anchor read them, they went up on... Chiron.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Here it is.
KTVU has just learned the names of the four pilots who were on board the flight. They are Captain Sum Ting Wong, Wee Tu Lo, Ho Li Fook, and Bang Ding Ao. The NTSB has confirmed these are the names of the pilots on board Flight 214 when it crashed. We are working to determine exactly what roles each of them played during the landing on Saturday.
God. Jesus, what a moron.
Wow. Seeing that a lot of TV anchors are kind of dopey. I just read whatever.
It's on the paper in front of me, so it must be true.
Seriously? It'd be different if it was just one. But I mean, four names.
When they called the NTSB, though, the NTSB confirmed it. So
they're morons at NTSB.
Yes, right.
I mean, the TV station did what they were supposed to do.
But there's no judgments. I mean, nobody.
I know.
We too low.
Just, it's another really? Story about most anchors are wow. morons.
I'm here to read the paper.
Whatever
I'm reading
you
the words on the page.
Of me.
Today in Flagadive, yes.
Surprising that a Fox affiliate would get something wrong like that and be so easily duped.
Yeah.
Asiana Airlines said yesterday its reputation was damaged by the report. blah, 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 and is considering legal action. The anchor read the names, and then she apologized, I guess, after the break.
I apologize that I'm a moron with no sense of humor.
I was just going to say, what I would actually love is the tape of the commercial break. I'm sorry, what now? Oh, my God.
We too low?
What did you
really?
Make me? Really?
We too low.
And thank God she didn't
Spook.
Say the word the
yes.
way, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. boy. Mary in Chicago. Uh-oh. I have a feeling. Oh. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Oh, boy. It's Road Flair.
Yeah, oh, boy. Yeah. Here we go.
Hi, Road Flair, Mary.
Here we go. You know what? I wish you would get your facts straight about the George Zimmerman case. Get them straight, really.
What? What did I get wrong?
Everything.
Oh, everything.
Everything.
Really?
Even the spelling of his name.
Defending themselves. You keep saying, oh, he followed him. When is
right.
there a law you can't get out of your car? Is there a
when
law?
The police tell
when
you
police
you're not supposed
you.
To,
no,
yes.
No, don't follow him.
It was non-emergency.
What?
Huh?
It was non-emergency. It was not
the police told him not to do that.
And
he did it anyway.
When
you know what?
When asked him if he was following, they said, don't do it. And he said, okay.
And
when
he
went back
anyway.
To his car, the thug attacked him.
The thug?
In his car.
13,
attacked
13,
him in his car with a bag of Skittles. Right.
Wait, yeah, Skittles. Yeah, right. 13% of the population, 8% are in jail. Figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, where'd you get that statistic from?
Look it up.
Oh, look
eight,
it up.
8%. Really?
Yeah. Okay. Look it up.
Look it up at racetrainer.com.
Look it up in the white supremacist handbook.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Okay.
You know what?
Oh, boy. Why does every racist start a sentence with
you know what? You know what else?
Okay. And in
black. That's
she snuck through.
Yes. Let's explain. Travis is on vacation. Rebecca's
yes.
been gone for a while, so
she
I didn't realize it
that.
Was Road Flair Mary. I was like, Mary, oh, no.
Oh, Mary in Chicago.
No. Okay.
Oh, boy. The dog attacked him in his car.
Didn't we?
He attacked him in his car. He went there with the
And she's accusing me of getting some of the facts
And
wrong.
He attacked him in his car. That's how he broke his head open. With that bag of tea Skittles. Bagged it on the window, and he broke his head.
Is there anybody?
You know what?
Is there anybody else? And also, black. Has anyone said that George Zimmerman was attacked in his car? Just saying,
Only
Mary. You might have that detail somewhat
right.
faulty.
He went back in his car, and he was attacked in the car by
okay.
the black guy.
Get your facts straight. And also black. Okay, Ed in Detroit.
How are you, Stephanie?
All right. I have a headache in my eye.
Stephanie, I just wanted to call and clarify the black reaction to the O.J. Situation. O.J. was not a beloved character in the black community. He never used his position to help influence any particular things that might be important to that community.
Right.
However, the black response to O.J. was strictly about how black Americans, and now certainly we can put Trayvon in that category, how they are systematically victimized by the system, how young black men are shot and killed by police that are then exonerated. So the reaction in the black community was strictly about how the tables were turned. Whether
yeah.
O.J. did it or not, it was the same system that they used that was used against them, and now all of a sudden we have white America crying in the streets. They're not crying in the streets for, you know, a young man a day before he's supposed to get married where he's shot and killed, or a 17-year-old kid with a bag of Skittles that's shot and killed. But now they're crying in the streets because somebody of means, O.J., used the system against them that they use all of the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's
well, and, you know, it was on the
O.J.
It was on the heels out here of, you know, the Rodney King trial as well,
exactly.
which, you know, any person with a set of eyes was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
How would they be acquitted?
Right.
I mean, it's Stephanie in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi.
I have a question. Senator Sal Zimmerman now has been found not guilty. Is there any way that the parents can file a civil suit against
Zimmerman? Like, it sounds like they're going to, and also the Justice Department may do something as well.
Yeah, and my last thing is, what's the matter with Florida instead of Kansas? Because it seems
somebody does need to write that book. What? WTF with Florida?
What isn't wrong in Florida?
Adrian in Pennsylvania. Hello, Adrian. Welcome.
Hello. Yes. I want to say I'm a concealed carry permit holder. You know, I carry a gun with me everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. And when I do this, I walk on. I'm the biggest coward that walks the streets because it's my responsibility as a person who carries a gun to make sure that I'm not putting myself in a situation that I could shoot someone. You know, the person that if someone says something to me or anything, whatever it is, I'm the one who has to avoid it because I'm the one with the gun.
Right.
And I'm the one who has to take the responsibility of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's a very good point. But, you know, that's the problem. Is it's just, this was a perfect storm of somebody that clearly was a wannabe cop, that, you know, was a vigilante.
And no, so this thug broke in a car with a Skittles.
You know what, Jim?
And a kid.
You know what?
You know what?
I don't need to relive that call, but thank you. 58 minutes after the hour.
Well, because
right?
You're a race trader.
Yeah, and a thug.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Really, not if you've been called a race traitor several times before. It's even, 9 a.m. out here on the West Coast.
Sure.
Wow. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Obviously, everybody reacting to the Zimmerman verdict.
State of Florida versus George Zimmerman. Verdict, we the jury find George Zimmerman not guilty.
The rest of the country find Florida out of your bleeping minds.
Right, exactly. That's what we judge you. Mm-hmm. We judge you to be crazy. That's what we say. By the way, we were talking about, somebody tweeted about, and Justice John Roberts says racism is over in America, right? Based on the voting rights thing. Did you see this guy? I missed the Rand Paul aide. I missed that story. He's with Jack Hunter, an aide to Kentucky Senator Rand Paul.
Uh-huh.
And former radio shock jock known as the Southern Avenger. In public appearances, Hunter, a former member of the League of the South, a pro-secessionist group, wore a Mexican wrestling match mask on which the Confederate battle flag was printed. Paul has refused to condemn Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead, secede, by all means.
Although I'm sure he had lunch with him at a lunch counter.
Yeah. We'll, just blow up all the bridges and power lines, and you're on your own.
Yeah, boy.
And God help you if your house catches on fire.
Did you see this story? Gawker brings us racist Goldman Sachs employee gets punched in the face. A drunken Goldman Sachs employee, apparently angry over both his job and his dissolving marriage, started shouting racial slurs at a black couple yesterday evening in the West Village before he was knocked out cold by a man who was trying to help him. The unidentified man was passing a black couple eating at a burrito shop shortly before 6 p.m. when he stumbled into their table. Douglas Reddish tried to help the man regain his balance when the drunken man lashed out at him. "This N-word wants to fight me," police say the drunken man yelled. "You N-words are why I lost my job." Reddish then clocked the racist drunken man. The man, fortunately, this takes a bad turn. The man fell backwards, smacked his head on the pavement, knocking him out.
Oh.
Reddish, seeing the extent of the injuries to the unconscious drunk racist man, fled the scene, only to be arrested a few minutes later by police and charged with assault. The drunk racist Goldman Sachs employee remains in serious condition. So, and here again, you're going,
self-defense.
So this guy, if this guy dies, right?
Right.
The black guy that tries to help him and gets called the N-word, right? I mean, it's Sherry in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sherry.
Be a man that believes in enforcing the law. He himself disobeyed a direct order from the law. And because of this, a young man is dead.
Yep.
And also, Trayvon Martin, he did not die in vain. Trayvon did receive justice, not by the court system, but by the revelation of the prejudice stain of racism.
Yeah. Well, as somebody said, he was you know, pronounced not guilty, but he's not innocent either, you know. Let's go to let's see here. Craig in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Stephanie. I was just calling to tell you that I was going to join the race traitor rankings with you.
And, come on with me.
I hope that black people don't take my black card from me, but... I don't think George Zimmerman was a racist. I think that, like, through conditioning, through his 29 years, you know, you go to the movies, the villain is the black guy. So he saw Trayvon Martin in this hoodie at night, and he automatically profiled him to being up to no good, even though the kid was minding his own business. But I think he didn't pull out his gun and shoot Trayvon Martin because he was black. I think he pulled out his gun and shot him because he was getting his ass kicked.
Yeah. But the point is, what was Trayvon doing when he kept referring to him as a suspect? What's he suspected of?
What?
He was walking with Skittles.
Right.
What was he doing that was suspicious?
Walking while black.
So if a white guy was walking in the park with his hoodie on, you'll probably think he was a part of the road team or something. A black guy, he's up to no good. That's just a part of that conditioning is that black guys are always suspicious.
Wow.
So I don't think...
I see. Hoodie's only a bad fashion choice if you're black, then.
Say that one more time?
I said hoodie's only a bad fashion choice if you're black, then.
Exactly. Yeah. It's certain things that black guys can't do that white guys can do.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's go to...
It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. Julie in California. Hello, Julie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
I just want to comment that I'm with the last guy that called. I really don't think Zimmerman was a racist. I believe everything happened the way it's been happening for the last few 200 years. We have a race problem, and I've been picked on. I've been in jail, and most of the staff was incredibly racist. And thank God that I had a Jewish lawyer to help me out, because I don't think that I would have gotten out of jail. And
Oh, boy.
Okay, have we covered every stereotype as possible on this show this morning? Thank God I had a Jew lawyer. Okay.
Hi. This will be another Alan Smithy production today.
This is awesome.
Alan Smithy, We Too Low production.
Okay.
Holy fook.
Okay. All right. KB in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, KB.
Hey, Steph, how are you?
I'm all right. Go ahead. I am a race traitor, obviously.
Well, I'm a black guy, so that doesn't bother me.
Okay. That's awesome. Because awesome. I'm on your side, obviously.
Well, I did want to let you guys know, I am an extremely angry black man. I have a list of people. That I mean, like, to me, this is just it comes from the headlines of the Daily News. Emmett Till, Willie Edwards, mm-hmm. James Chaney, Michael Donald, Michael Griffin, Yusef Hawkins, James Byrd Jr., Trayvon Martin. Like, these are all black men who weren't doing anything to anybody other than, with the exception of, a couple of people, maybe they might have stepped up and said, okay, this is wrong. That is what's going on, you know, the condition that my people just so happen to be in, and they end up dead. And then the person that killed them ends up either not being charged or walking away.
Yeah.
And to me, the biggest thing about this is he wasn't charged for 44 days. Yeah. There had to be protests just for him to get charged.
Well, right, the evidence and all of that been better had they, treated this more seriously from the beginning? I mean, I think you're absolutely right on a lot of counts. Let's go to Millie in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Millie.
Hi, Steph. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm from Florida, of course, and it's not the Sunshine State anymore. It's the shameful state.
Yeah.
It really is. And as a woman of color, when I was watching the trial and my friends and family, when we found out that the jurors were women, white women, okay, we were actually extremely worried, okay? And this is why I want to try to get an open
right, and, you know, Millie, I think a lot of people hoped, like, the mother card would trump race in this trial.
Yes, but what no one has ever talked about is that the white mothers, okay, They never had to worry about their children now nor ever being racially profiled. So you're speaking in terms of mothers that never have to worry about their children being stopped by law enforcement in an unruly way just to mess with them. So you have to think in terms of that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
maybe that's why they did the way they did.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
just don't see it because they cannot relate.
Yeah, that could be. Let's go to Kevin in Orange County. Hi, Kev. Welcome.
Hey, it's Stephanie. I've heard a couple of callers call in talking about George Zimmerman's right to self-defense. Trayvon Martin has the exact same equal right to self-defense under the law. Now, self-defense isn't just a single action. It's a formula of actions. And your first duty under self-defense is retreat. I don't see any evidence where George Zimmerman retreated. Now, he gave up his right to self-defense as soon as he got out of the car and confronted Trayvon Martin.
Right.
Trayvon Martin, by all the evidence that I've heard, his first duty, his first action was to retreat. Now, when you have a threat of imminent bodily harm, which anybody would feel that way in Trayvon Martin's circumstances, they're allowed to react to that with force. So even if you say that Trayvon Martin threw the first punch, he had every right to under the same self-defense that everybody's saying
right.
that mm-hmm. George Zimmerman had.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm sure if he'd known he was going to be stalked by some vigilante cop wannabe, he would have armed himself with more than Skittles. But
yeah.
Let's go to Jason in New Hampshire. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say a few things. If you strip race from this, if you strip everything from it and look at it from a mental standpoint, I feel that the court should have picked George Zimmerman as a murderer, is what he is. Because he was told to stay in the car. He had a mental process that told him he needed to take this gun and harm somebody. Regardless of race, regardless of who it was, he got out of his car, and I think he should have been pegged for a murderer. Because
well, you know, for second degree, Jason, you have to prove malice. And to me, why does the 911 call not qualify when you call somebody, you know, these...
Right.
Holes always get away with this, and these, you know, effing punks. I mean, I think I heard Lisa Bloom on TV said, "What do you assume he got fonder of Trayvon
yeah.
as this went on after that, like during the fight? I mean, how is that not with malice? And anyway. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, I don't believe it. This is too good to be real. Of course this is real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm not sure I'm ready for that jelly.
Mm-hmm. Well, 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2.
I'm looking for someone who's just bootylicious enough.
Right.
Not too much.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Let's go to Danette in West Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Zimmerman verdict. Hello. Hey, Danette.
Hey,
hi.
I just wanted to make a couple comments. One of the things was about the prosecution. The back of Zimmerman's head had the small two cuts,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't on the ball of his head. I don't know if that's the correct term, but we all have that part that sticks out on the back of our head.
The occipital protuberance.
Wow.
Ooh, thank you, Jim.
It's
wow.
not here. You know, the head is above that. So how do you slam somebody's head into the concrete even once?
Right.
Yeah.
And not do that.
Mm-hmm.
So the prosecution, as far as I know, didn't even bring back. That's kind of a no-brainer. But the second thing I wanted to say is really about our society.
Mm-hmm.
How is this young man, this beautiful young kid, not young man, but this beautiful young kid killed and not one of these neighbors come out to help him?
Yeah.
I don't know how they sleep at night. I really can't imagine That's thinking a that a young kid had been killed outside my home
yeah.
and that I didn't even try and help him.
Yeah.
And I hate that for his parents because they have to be thinking about that, too, that no one tried to help their child.
Yep, exactly. Thank you. Let's go to Lindy in Colorado. Hey, Lindy, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I just want to apologize to their parents. It is so sad that nobody can get justice anymore like this.
And I'm a race traitor, too.
Well, good, good. Well, welcome to the club this morning.
I know. It's just, it's really sad that he got five white people. I just don't know what it says about us anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Ed in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed.
Yeah, I've heard the drones from the left. Now I'm going to give you the actual causal mechanisms for what happened, or what's happening in the black community.
Mm.
And that is that there's a culture of violence, and it's perpetrated by progressive dogma. That
progressives are making black people violent?
No, there's a culture of violence, of a rejection of education. It's more important. It's not masculine to pick up a book and take it home. It's more masculine to carry a 9mm.
You know who's rejecting their education.
Excuse me. Who was carrying the 9mm? It was George Zimmerman, not Trayvon.
Yeah, but the majority, the tens of thousands.
Oh, the majority of blacks carry 9mm.
Are you going to talk over me?
It's my show.
Sentiment?
Yes, hello, it's my show.
Okay, if you're going to continue on with the drone stuff, then go ahead. I mean, I'm giving you opposing view in a rational, objective way.
And your opposing view are blacks are inherently violent?
No, they are not, but in progressive urban hellholes where they're told they're victims instead of dealing with the real problem, which is that that black America resorts to violence instead of backing away. And it results in tens of thousands of black crime. Mm-hmm. What happened in Florida was not racist.
No white people are violent?
Yeah, they are at times, but not to the extent that black
America. Not the extent that blacks are.
Right.
And that's just a general conclusion. Dogma. Pardon me?
They haven't been captured by progressive dogma, progressive education, progressive media, which tells them they're victims. It's okay to lash out. You don't deal with the real causal mechanism.
So it's not really blacks' fault. It's not really blacks' fault. It's progressives.
Liberals hypnotizing them.
The entitlements that pay fathers to leave their family, to reward single women rather than keep families together.
What quantitative analysis are you reading to come to these conclusions?
It's called reality.
You have no evidence of any of this.
You didn't get that book.
Go to any inner city school, dude, and you'll get your evidence on the scores. These schools are hell.
So what is your point in regards to the Zimmerman trial?
Well, with regard to the Zimmerman trial, a black American has been exposed and destroyed by progressive dogma, progressive politics.
Okay, but what is your point? So you think that's why Zimmerman's not guilty?
Because of progressive dogma?
Zimmerman's not guilty because the court charged him not guilty. But the problem was that this young kid that didn't deserve to die has been taught all along, and he's been experienced, that what you do in a black community, if you're confronted, you're a coward, or you're not manly. If you don't confront the man, you go and hit him. And that's not the way you deal with problems. I heard some idiot.
Really, if a guy was following you, stalking you with a gun, what would you do? And you couldn't get away. What would you do exactly?
Stalking me with a gun. George Zimmerman didn't pull the gun out of his back pocket.
How do you know?
Because that's what the evidence showed.
Well, the evidence is what the one guy that's alive said. Oh, for God's sakes. I knew
you. You liberal, progressive, left-wing race traitors like you.
He had no evidence for any of
facts
of that he was spouting.
Congratulations, everybody. This is a record. I have a headache in both eyes.
Both eyes? This is the first time.
Both eyes. Yep.
It's liberal progressives who tell black people to be violent, and so they have it coming.
And you know why I'm a victim? Because I gave Jim my last two Advil this morning.
Right.
Now you see what's happened.
And you gave Ed all that airtime. Congratulations for that.
Oh, God, I hate everyone. Hello! Corey in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Corey.
Hi, good morning. I was calling because you were asking earlier about the why they didn't use stalking as a charge. That's because in Florida, that statute 784.048. The problem is you have to repeatedly follow
through. Oh, I see.
And so since it was just one night, it was because he was being harassed.
It's a one-off. It's a one-off if you're only stalking someone one night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Now he's free to stalk more people.
Right. But the thing that really bothers me, the second point to that, was everyone's calling in, well, not everyone, but certain people who are calling in with their thug issues and everything else, seem to ignore the fact, because I moved from Florida last year.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Nicely done, sir.
But people seem to fail to realize when Angela Corey took over the case, she didn't find it important enough to actually take over the case, but yet she found it important enough to charged Marissa Alexander in Tampa to 20 years just for shooting the roof of her house to keep her abusive husband away.
Yeah, I know. No, someone else brought up that case this morning. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir. Someone just tweeted, holy crap, I'm not a violent black guy, but good God, these callers are making me want to get a Pawn Shop 38.
Yeah. Yeah, the trolls are very active today.
Yes.
They're coming out from under their bridges.
By the way, when Stephanie Miller of the Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize. When I said I hate everyone this morning, I meant everyone except black people. Because I am a race traitor. Okay.
Okay. Good to know. GTK.
Okay. Okay. Right. Make a note of it. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour.
Shall we see what the next segment
has to offer? I'm just tottering. At the end. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm also known as Benny the Groin, Sammy the Schnoz, Elmer the Fudd, Tubby the Tuba. I'm also known to the people who know me the best as
Stephanie Miller.
34 wow. minutes after the hour. Well, you know what? People watching on Current TV mm-hmm. can see that our previous caller was right. I am indeed a race traitor. The greatest example, I'm reading a story in the newspaper about my good friend Aisha Tyler,
aww.
Whom I love.
Race
clearly
trader.
Because I'm a race trader.
Who won't return our calls anymore.
And I still love her.
And she's a race trader because she's married to a white guy.
That right. Or the cracker that she likes to lick, as she mm-hmm, says. Mm-hmm. Anyway, great story in yesterday's LA Times, Sunday LA Times. Yay. Rock on. I love the producer of Archer. Speculated that Tyler's actually from a place called Hardworkistan, and she represents humanity 2.0. She's prettier and taller and smarter than we are. The collective we is in the American public, has funnier things to say, reads way more books.
Yep.
She may be a robot. If lasers come shooting out of her eyes someday, I'll be the one saying, called it! I have thought the same thing. And he goes on to say, the scary thing is I think she can do more. She should. She could take over the world or rule Google Glass.
Okay.
All right. Nicely done. She has a new book out.
Awesome.
Yep.
Get it.
Self-inflicted wounds. I got a mass email from her the other day. At least I'm on her list still.
Well, everybody did.
Of people to tell about her new book.
Anybody who has ever had any contact with her at all got that email.
She meant it mostly for me. Hello, Michelle. And Michelle in Atlanta.
A very personal mass email.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Hello, Michelle.
Hey, Stephanie. I am just so frustrated with this case because I remember in the beginning of the trial, the investigator for the scene had been asked if there was any blood on the concrete from George Zimmerman's head being bashed, and she said no.
Huh.
And I just can't understand why the prosecution didn't use that and say, okay, he said his head was bashed 25 times.
And Michelle,
where was the flesh?
Right, and I just brought it up, before the thing. Trayvon had no blood or any DNA on his hands of any kind. Mm-hmm. How could he be administering this epic beating that was described by Zimmerman, right?
Right, but the evidence wasn't handled properly either. I mean,
yeah.
At the beginning, I just couldn't understand why Tracy Martin didn't know anything. Why didn't the police go door-to-door and say, is this your son, you know? Why were his parents not contacted initially? So everybody has fault in this, and that's yep. really the disgusting part.
I agree with you. And by the way, one of Zimmerman's friends just tweeted that George always kept everyone safe. Really? Everyone? Everyone? Did he keep everyone safe?
Hmm.
Scott in North Carolina. Hi, Scott.
Hey, I just want to say I've heard a lot of people speak about this issue. And the truth of the matter is, the jury deliberated on the wrong issue. The main issue was what caused the root problem. What caused it? The truth of the matter, yeah. George Zimmerman probably did have to defend himself. So was Trayvon. Trayvon was a scared kid, the strange man following him. What would you do?
Right.
I would fight for my life, too. Now, the bottom line is the jury went in, and they only deliberated on what happened in the scuffle. Well, what caused the root problem? What could Trayvon Trayvon done to prevent this whole issue? Not go outdoors? Not go to the store?
Yeah.
That was his civil right.
Yeah.
But what they didn't fail to realize is George Zimmerman had several options that he could have done to stop this.
Yeah.
He could have not got out of his car. He could have just approached him and say, hey, I'm the neighborhood watch guy. I'm just seeing what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can I help you find what you're looking for? And then Trayvon might have said, hey, I'm going to my dad's house right up the street here. You know, anything. See, where I'm from, there's a lot of racism. It's very heavy. We have a active Klan going on here now. They're actually recruiting people, sending voicemails out to you, computer calls out to your house, putting notes on your cars at the grocery store.
Nice, hey.
So where I'm from, I'm very aware of how somebody can be profiled.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I know. Ed in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey.
First, let me say that a lot of your callers today have presented several points I wanted to make, primarily the one that was made about Melissa Alexander. This is the lady that shot into her roof. Okay? I mean, she didn't shoot at anyone. She shot into her roof.
Because she was being threatened by her
years.
Right, by her ex that had beaten her up previously. Right.
Exactly. I mean, so she had an outstanding warrant against him. But my question, and I present this to Jim, is that why didn't the prosecution present any of this evidence? They presented such a lame case that I thought, even me being a layman, I thought they should have been able to present this. This kid's walking home, and you're going to tell me that this guy brings in a piece of brick, he brings in a piece of concrete? I'm sorry, he's walking down the street with concrete in his hand?
That's what he uses?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
but
really.
Also, they didn't test for like this tissue samples or blood on the, the concrete.
Yeah, exactly.
I just could take our word for it.
Yep. John in Iowa. Hi, John. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm more concerned. You know, I'm sorry that the young man is dead. I mean, it's a tragedy no matter how you look at it. I'm sorry I was born white. I didn't have anything to do with that. But my concern more is than anything is why doesn't anybody care about everybody getting killed in Chicago and Washington, D.C.? It's just it's
who says Pete, nobody cares?
That's exactly right.
No, who said nobody cares?
What are they doing about it? We had a situation in Davenport, Iowa, a few years back where we had some gang influx into the city.
Mm-hmm.
And our local police department pulled out all the squad cars and started patrolling the areas heavily, and they ended up moving right back out of town. There's got to be a way to stop it. I don't care. Maybe the president needs to bring in the military.
What cities are you talking about?
Chicago and D.C.
Chicago. 26 people killed a weekend before last. This week is terrible.
Okay.
It's a little more complex. Chicago. The situation in Chicago is a little more complicated than the situation in Davenport, Iowa.
Absolutely.
But, it takes a lot more money and a lot more manpower, and
as we
may not
out
have it.
Many times, one of the other big reasons is it's so easy to get a gun so close to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the
Gary, Indiana.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Across the border.
Mm-hmm. Chanel in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Chanel.
Hi. I live in a well-established, predominantly white neighborhood. My husband and I, we're African-Americans and hardworking, peaceful, loving people. But we also have young black men that are our relatives that live inside of black neighborhoods or inner cities. And we're faced with the two Americas. I'm fearful for my nephews and my cousins to even visit me here, because I assume that something may happen to them as a result of all of this. Black mothers, usually the terms we use are WWBB or DWBB, and we teach our young men that you can be stopped for these two reasons, and those are walking while being black or driving
while being black. So this is not a new thing for the average black American woman who wants to raise healthy, productive young men. We teach them to be afraid of the police. Just, you know, pretty much lay down on the ground and put your hands up. I mean, this is from a black mother as
right.
well. You know, so when I see six white women who have no idea of what it's like to try to save a black man from the American prison industrial complex, and
yeah.
Create someone who is a good example in society. It's very hard.
Yeah, no, we've had other black women call in this morning that shared the same experience. It does make you wonder why there wasn't some more diversity on that jury. I do think it played into it.
Why were there only six? Aren't there usually
12?
I don't know. Jennifer in Georgia. Hi, Jen.
Hi,
Steph. Hello.
I want to translate something from my language to you, and it's in the courtroom of your conscience. There is a hearing every day. He may have walked out of the Stanford courtroom, but he'll never walk out of the courtroom of his conscience, and he's going to have to deal with it.
I'm not sure I caught your point.
George Zimmerman, he got out of the courtroom, yes.
Right.
But his conscience went out with him.
Okay.
Oh.
And that's going to be there every day.
It doesn't sound like it from his, you know, from his interview with Sean Hannity, right? It's like, would you do anything different? Nope. Wouldn't do anything different if I had it to do over again. What kind of human being says that?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And Zimmerman's brother's been an a-hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, should we play that again?
Yeah.
Sure. Robert Zimmerman on Piers Morgan's show on CNN.
I want to know if it is true, and I don't know if it's true, that Trayvon Martin was looking to procure firearms, was growing marijuana plants, or was making lean or whatever he was doing. I want to know that every minor high schooler that would be reaching out in some way for help, and they may feel it's by procuring firearms or whatever they may be doing, that they have some kind of help. I think that that's what George was trying to do when he mentored two black children.
He's a helper. Yeah.
He sounds like a combination of Andrew Breitbart and Mark Levin, which is really nauseating.
Really irritating combination. Yeah. Wow. That was the problem was not that George Zimmerman had a gun and shot Trayvon through the heart. It was that he might have been trying to procure a gun.
Yeah.
I see. But it's not based on any evidence.
Yeah.
And the marijuana, neither. Just kind of.
I just have this spidey sense that he had drugs and guns.
Marijuana.
He was growing gun drugs.
Hmm. Yeah. And Zimmerman's brother.
Yeah, if only George had more time to mentor him, I'm sure things would have gone differently.
Zimmerman's brother also said on Piers Morgan, this is the last time I want to hear about bags of Skittles.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, it's the last time I want to hear anything from any of you people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. And
Piers Morgan said
that in a racist way when
sure,
he said you people.
You know, you people. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. All right. 45 minutes after the hour,
you
right
people
back.
People go on Piers Morgan.
Yeah, that's who we mean. Talking to you. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's that?
Stephanie Miller.
Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it.
Getting jiggy with what exactly?
It.
Ah.
You don't question Will Smith.
No, just do it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. By the way, did you see Beyonce was in concert and the verdict came down about 30 minutes before the show started? So she did a moment of silence for him and then sang the chorus of I Will Always Love You.
Mm.
I would have cried. But that's crazy.
Yeah, you cried an AT&T commercial.
I love her. I cried once at Single Ladies during a particularly difficult time.
Why? Because you were a single lady?
And a loser. Okay.
Oh, God. That's the saddest thing I've heard in a really long time.
Right? I know. Really sad. All right. I'll call my own ambulance. Nobody help me. Okay. Other tragedy over the weekend. Glee star Corey Monteith, dead of an overdose at 31. That was very sad. He'd apparently had a history of substance abuse.
Since he was 13.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. And had been in rehab before. But that's very sad. Oh, my God. All right. Also very sad, Mitch McConnell on Meet the Press. Did you watch?
Mitch McConnell? Did he have to go back to the Galapagos Islands, his ancestral homeland?
Yes, he's having a showdown with Harry Reid over the nuclear option. And I have to say, David Gregory doddered into some journalism this week. He actually played a clip of how, you know, Mitch McConnell, back in the day, talking about how, you know, he wanted to do this. But now, of course, it's totally different because he's a big
right-wing hypocrite.
I love this one. The Huffington Post, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid regrets waiting so long to push for filibuster reform in the Senate and allowing Republicans to hold up several Obama nominations. He apparently said, I ate on some of those nominations in a closed-door caucus meeting. Apparently, Harry Reid can,
lettuce. Wow. He meant lettuce, I'm sure.
Bust out the salty language. He said this type of blanket partisan obstruction used to be unheard of. Now it has become an unacceptable pattern.
Wow.
May I just say, he was on Meet the Press as well, and he's not our best spokesperson. I just found he and Mitch McConnell had an equally creepy laugh. I don't know what it was. They just were both. Okay. I'm just saying, he's right. Harry is right on the merits. I just wish Jim could work with him on using his outside voice. I had to keep pushing the volume up because I was like, "What? Oh, is it my? Oh no, it's just Harry Reid."
I'm sorry you had to see me like this. I'm just enraged.
Even through his shell, Mitch McConnell was much louder. I had to turn it back down again. Michelle in Tampa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Stephanie. Hello. How are you?
Hi. Go ahead.
Just as a mom of a school-aged child, and my child gets all A's, to have the girl that was on the phone with Trayvon, you know, for her to be called uneducated really, really bothered me. No children here in Florida are taught cursive. They have completely written that out of the curriculum.
Well, and how does that become the issue of anything?
Well, they seem to, when she couldn't read the cursive, they made that, you know, they made her seem uncredible because she wasn't intelligent enough.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And also, the politics in family court here really need to be looked at. I mean, if people can Google my son's name, Dylan Radley, maybe I can get him back home. Seriously, when people tell you the politics in Florida courts are bad, they're really bad. The family court judge that I just had was just arrested for DUI.
Oh, good God in heaven. All right. We could write it. We were saying you could never finish writing the WTF with Florida book.
No.
You really couldn't. Hey, it's good to be right about one thing.
What?
I clearly was wrong.
What?
Trayvon Martin. No one else wants Sarah Palin to run for anything either. Most Americans aren't very keen on the idea of Sarah Palin as U.S. Senator or any other public official, according to a new HuffPost poll. Survey found 49% don't want Palin to hold public office again. Another 15% couldn't muster enough enthusiasm to be sure either way. Only 35% said yes to the idea of Palin back in. In a PPP poll, Palin would face an uphill battle to unseat Mark Begich. Mm-hmm. The poll found him leading 54-38%. Do you think maybe it was just, as we said, sort of a pathetic attempt to appear relative?
Guys and gals,
what do you think, guys and gals?
Yeah.
Gack.
Yeah.
I'll try to find you some, right, and I'll bring them to you.
Some people don't want you to run for something? Okay, you do
that. Still hasn't brought them to you.
No.
Catrice in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Catrice.
Hi, Stephanie. I want to first say that you're not a race traitor. You're a human lover, first of all.
Thank you.
For those people that think it's just so crazy how we all live in this melting pot called America, and we don't even try to get to know our neighbor. I truly believe that aliens would have to show up before we all consider ourselves one human race. That is just the fact of it. But nevertheless, Robert Zimmerman, when I saw that, he's an idiot. He makes me want to stick a bunch of donuts in his mouth like I do when Donald Trump is talking.
See, I agree with George Carlin, who said we should all keep each other until we're all one color. And then what will the racists do? Their heads will implode. I cannot tell what is what and who's who here. What the hell are you? Okay, Don in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. I just wanted to let you guys know that as a parent and a grandparent, I feel much safer now letting my teenage kids walk out the door knowing that an armed George Zimmerman is out there to protect
yeah,
them.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Holy jumping Jehoshaphat, are you kidding me? This just makes me, I'm just so stunned about this, I can't tell you.
And thank
you know, my daughter's fixing to walk out the door right now, and I just feel so much better that knowing that George Zimmerman gets his gun back.
For some reason,
holy moly.
You win the contest for getting the most old-timey phrases in one conversation. Holy
my
moly.
My stars and garters.
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
I'll be a monkey's uncle. 23 Skidoo.
He just went old Donald Rumsfeld on our ass. All right. Let's go to Patricia in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
First of all, I would just like to say I am a 54-year-old white female that lives in Florida. I have a concealed weapons permit.
Right.
I have no idea how this piece of garbage Zimmerman got away with this.
Yeah. I don't either. I mean,
it's just ludicrous. It's ridiculous. I mean, yet again, another young black man was killed for no reason except walking down the damn street.
Yeah, trying to get home. That was his crime, basically.
Just trying to get home. And he lives in the same neighborhood. And then they're going to give this guy a gun back?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was nice. I was happy to read that headline. Yeah. Glad he'll get that gun back. That's good. Okay. I did not enjoy today's show. I hope you did. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Crystal Boyce.
Because you're an effing punk and a race trainer.
Yeah. Right. Thanks.
We'll talk to Charlie Pierce his article tomorrow.
Charlie's mad.
Yeah, he is.
Fun. All right. And thank you, Rebecca. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.